It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name is Blue. Alongside of me are the world famous Pot Brothers at Law, Mark and Craig Wasserman, and Mr. Joe Grande.
Yeah, Blue, we're in Long Beach live outside.
It's a beautiful thing, man.
It's
a beautiful thing. Shout out to Rocket Seeds. Yeah, I see you guys over there. Yeah, man.
They're everywhere.
We got a fantastic show for you today. Jake, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We can't hear you.
Thank you.
There it is.
So listen, it's interesting that we're literally downtown outside in the middle of Pine and Fifth Street. Yeah. And Heroes for Harvest for Heroes, you know, and let me ask you, what part of the industry are you currently in? Because I got some news that you're not a veteran, but your wife's a veteran. You have a family of veterans. And then now you're giving back to veterans yourself.
That's correct.
Tell us about it.
Well, we started MedVets back in 2015 and foundationalized in 2016. And at first it started with the idea of giving cannabis to vets who needed it to help to mitigate opiate dependency.
It was a lot easier back then, right?
It was. Yeah. As we went out, a lot of the farms up there, I'm from the Emerald Triangle, and a lot of the farmers came up and they said, yeah, you know what, we'll get behind this. So we'll support and we'll make sure it's going. So back then we had a collective.
Correct.
And that's how we did it. We were able to fund that through the collective, work with the farms, but also set up our own give back program. Imagine that, without the state involved whatsoever, we gave it to, no one got hurt.
Yeah, and that all stemmed from Prop 215 through Senate Bill 420, and as you were mentioning, operating as a collective with your memberships and physician recommendations to be able to defend the charges that would come, because it was still a crime first back then. And, you know, we were defending collectives and cooperatives and patients since the beginning when that was happening and they were still getting arrested. But going back to the point, it was so much easier to give away to the vets. Now,
sure.
What's the tell the roadblock. Talk about the roadblocks that immediately went up once we switched over to Prop 64 and everything else.
Well, actually, immediately, as soon as Prop 64 happened, it killed all of our donations.
Right.
97%. Right. The people that gave to me, it was because we were close. We were family type of situation that were given to me. And actually, I was turning around to other veteran brothers who had depended on this medicine, knowing that I would have something for them, and having to tell them, like, look, they've changed everything. Everything has stopped.
Yeah.
Let me help you how I can, but we'll do what we can where we're at. So what happened is that everybody started lobbying for Senate Bill 34, the Dennis Perone and Browning Mary Act.
Right, right.
And so when they started lobbying for this, they were able to get it out, but honestly, it's a wet dog of a bill. It really is.
Well said, sir. Tell us about that bill. I mean, what does that bill contain that makes it so wet dogish?
Here's the deal. I have gotten farms who have said, absolutely, we will work with you.
Right.
We want to help. We want to donate. We believe in this way. They can take off their cultivation tax, but everybody else along the chain, everybody else that you're trying to get done, you have to pay them the same money.
Right.
Yeah.
And where we're getting stopped at, and what had stopped a lot of our movement initially, was distribution. Distribution stopped the ability to take it off the farm, get it into a place. You have to get it tested. By that point, you're better off going to a personal plant program, buying your own pound of weed, and going and giving it to the guy. It's cheaper and more effective.
Absolutely. But it's hard. People can't just grow their own. I mean, they can, but I can't. You know, I'm not a green thumb. I tried it a couple times. I killed things, and it's easier for me to go get it from the people who know how to cultivate it and do it right. Now, what is happening currently with Senate Bill 34 and your efforts to give away cannabis to vets? Because that's what we're talking about here, is just being able to simply give it away, which the fact that it's difficult is a big fucking problem. So talk about that. It is.
It's in my eyes, right? I mean, it should go in with healthcare and everything else, and it's not.
No, it's
right?
Not.
And we're completely ignoring the facts that veterans and all people need this plant, right? So, you know, what's the answer, right? What's the rollout, right? How can we educate people to understand what would make it better?
Well, I think that's a silver bullet question. That's really a silver bullet type question. You're trying to find out what could do. Well, ultimately, we're going to need new laws. We're going to need new legislation that turns around and allows us to be able to help veterans more freely get cannabis to the end zone. If we have to go into a dispensary, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to have some kind of licensure that says if you're going for cancer patients, if you're going for veterans, if you're doing compassionate use and you're doing medical, there's no real reason that we shouldn't be able to make it to where it's like a micro business license to be able to get it out and to donate through doctor's offices to really have a patient collective.
Sure.
Wow. MedVets does a lot more, though, than just supplying medicine to patients. There's we noticed some opportunities for housings and things like that. Talk about the other aspects of MedVets and how you help the vets.
Well, we're actually right now remodeling a 15,500 square foot hospital in Fort Bragg that had been turned into a bed and breakfast.
Wow.
It is the Gray Whale, and we also have the Colonial Inn in Fort Bragg. And with the Colonial Inn in Fort Bragg, we are using that as a fundraising. I'm getting a lot of feedback.
I'm noticing that too.
I'm wondering how. If I look at you guys, I get feedback. If I look at them, it keeps it going. So I'm wondering who I should be looking
over
at.
Here. Over
I'm
here.
Gonna, I'm going to keep talking
to you. Don't look away. Let me do the looking away.
All right, cool. You know,
what's Operation?
Keep that mission going, baby.
I want to know, what's Operation Homefront?
Operation Homefront is going to be selling bricks on our landscaping so that everybody can have a piece of this renovation. Businesses can come and sponsor.
Literally buy a brick.
Buy a brick.
What's a brick cost?
It goes up from $100 up.
Wow. That's fantastic, dude.
So you can get your name done or all the way up to your company's logo done.
You can do it like 50 bricks or 150 bricks or 1,000 bricks or whatever it is.
Or you can sponsor a room in the Gray Whale that we're renovating, going to be housing veterans in.
That's dope. I love that, man. Now, where does this passion come from? I mean, you know, certainly, like you said, your wife was a veteran. So, you know, where does the passion to do this come from? Because it takes a certain kind of person to be able to donate their time and focus on creating opportunity for veterans in medicine.
My Uncle Tom came back from Vietnam schizophrenic. And it was because he had a 12-year-old blow his friend's head off next to him as they were standing there giving them candy.
Okay.
As he came back, I learned as I was out and I had produced Freedom Fest in Castle Rock, Colorado, for the American Soldier Network. And that's something I also do. I produce events.
Right.
So the deal is that as I was doing that, I was approached about helping veterans, and I came over and I told my uncle, I said, you know, we're going to start giving veterans cannabis out of our collective with Prop 215, and I'm going to help these guys. I think it's a good thing. And he disclosed to me he'd been walking for 3 years because his car had broken down. He was too proud to tell anyone. And he was saving his money on his fixed income, but he couldn't give up his antipsychotics and his cannabis.
Wow.
So he had to save every penny he could. He had his medicine down to how many joints he had per month. And so I told him, I said, you know what, Uncle? I said, I'm going to work with a lot of people, and we're going to help so the guys like you can always have access.
Yeah.
Wow, man. I appreciate that. That's, you know, it's a great story. And I know, you know, a lot of, you know, I have veterans in my family as well. And, you know, my uncle, Jose, died here in Long Beach, maybe minutes from here, schizophrenic and a Vietnam veteran, and you know, went through a lot of drugs. He had his stomach blown off in Vietnam, and you know, he went through a lot of dark times, and right here in Long Beach. So it's kind of, I just got the chills listening to your story, because it brings it back to the story that I, you know, have in my own family. My uncle, you know, there was a time where my father and I would drive up and down these streets just to find him, you know. And he lived out here just on the streets. And finally, you know, he ended up passing away. But, you know, I appreciate what you're doing for the community. And, you know, it's a thankless job sometimes. But, you know, I think you're doing the right thing. And I'm it's nice to be here with you, man.
Well, I would love to continue. You know, ultimately, we work with for-profits and non-profits. Everything that I can sit here and tout that we have done or do is because somebody else has come forward and believed. Because we couldn't have done any of it. You know, the Veteran Cannabis Group, these guys right here have been a glue to bringing us and so many people together. You know, they go out there, they lobby, they fight on in suits and ties in different ways to help. While we're boots on the ground up in the Emerald Triangle, we're helping to get it directly to the people. But it takes a village.
Sure.
Yeah, it does.
Sure. Well, listen, guys, it's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this break.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Harvest for Heroes right here in Long Beach, guys. Pine Street, it's going down. Real big, guys. I want to take a second to give a shout out to Rocket Seeds, G4 Live, Cali FX, Connector, Viscous Vapes, Chronic Expo going down. White Angel Farms is in the house. Immersia, Catalyst. Steezy is in the building.
Stizzy?
Is it Stizzy or Steezy?
I've heard it both ways, but I'll say Stizzy, The Blacklist, Veterans Cannabis Group, Humanity Heroes, Left Coast Extracts, The Roll-Up Show, Loomis, Smoke DeVille, and Mobile Media Kings all helping us out here in Long Beach Live, Cannabis Talk 101. And we are with Big Jake, and he is doing big things for the cannabis industry and vets. And you were just talking about pets.
Well,
vets and pets. So what's the deal with pets?
If you look over there, that's Roscoe.
What's up, Roscoe?
Roscoe!
Roscoe! Roscoe!
There he is.
He's so excited. He's like, he hears you.
He does.
Yes.
Good boy.
So you're doing cannabis and pets. And what's...
Well, the pet therapy, first off, that is my therapy.
Yes.
That is my therapy.
Gotcha.
That guy is my therapy, first and foremost. But I disappear when I walk into a room full of vets and other people. I completely blend out. I don't even matter. He's being trained for deep pressure therapy, for PTSD and anxiety. So we take him around, socialize him. But the way that I built pet therapy and MedVets was to utilize what already exists. And so we're working with the Mendocino County Coast Humane Society. And they have a huge facility over there, and we donate to them, and we're working with them. We're working to get officers, first responders who train canines to actually work with our men so that they can adopt a dog and have it trained. So if they as they come out of our program, they can walk out and have a dog that's fully service trained.
So I got some questions because, you know, I hear about pet therapy, and I have two dogs, you know, but... What does it mean? Somebody goes and they have some issue, emotional issue or something, and a doctor or somebody's decided instead of pills or other things, pet therapy. How does it work? What is that?
So the interesting thing about it is if you don't have anything else to depend on you, if you don't have something that needs you, you can often get stuck off in your own ways.
Yeah.
You have nothing that requires you to help it, and it becomes a positive codependence. The other thing is how many times you want to tell someone something and you just know that you can't really get the words out. Roscoe doesn't judge me. Roscoe doesn't judge me when I'm talking gibberish and I'm going through it and I'm asking him why I'm crazy at night working all these hours.
It's true.
He comes with me and he rides unequivocally. He rides where we're going.
He rides with you no matter what.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he has no emotions towards any of that. He just rides with
no you. Judgment.
I love that.
So we just lost our 13-year-old boxer, Deuce, and he was the one who went before him. But he had a month with him. He had a month with him before he passed. And then he's the next generation going with me all over the country.
You know, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know, pets are family members. And, you know, if you don't own one and you don't have that relationship with a pet, especially veterans as well, you know, it's something that, you know, we all have to realize that they are family, you know, and these are real things. So, you know, making sure. Now, you know, Where are you guys based out of again, you said?
Fort Bragg, California.
And you know, forgive me for going back to the bricks. Forgive me for going back to the bricks, man. But I just find that that's such an interesting model. You know, you guys are building a property, and you can donate bricks to get yourself a piece of the...
Yeah, because it's not about... If you really own a nonprofit, you don't own it.
Right.
Let's get real.
Yeah. Correct.
You don't really own it.
You're right.
So you're great. Right. Great.
No, nobody ever owned that collective.
Right. Yeah. And so what it is it's actually built for the community that I'm in. This is meant to be a duplicatable model in each county, but I'm doing proof of concept in Fort Bragg and Mendocino County in the heart of the Emerald Triangle, and I'm bringing fine cannabis to access medicine to vets alongside of it.
Where does all this come from inside of you to want to do all of this work and tireless, you know, nights, weekends, I'm sure. You know, where did it all start for? I mean, I know this whole thing started, you said, in 2015, but it didn't start in 2015. That's when it probably got activated. Did the idea, the concept, where did that come from and when did that hit you?
The concept hit me when I was approached by another vet group and I saw them doing everything that I despised in putting together a group.
What did you despise? Tell me.
There was no testing. There was no logical reason to how they were treating these vets. It was a Mickey Mouse cookie cutter club, and it had no structure to it and no background. And so when you look at it, there was no depth of authenticity. It was about making money. And then when I tried to help them, they couldn't tell me where the money went. And if you can't tell me where the money I'm raising goes, then we have a problem.
Yes, we
problem.
Do.
And you're going to put my name on it. Yeah. And so I spent all that time. Up to that time, nobody knew that I smoked cannabis. I kept it to myself. I've been smoking weed since the third grade. I grew up in it.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm not a Johnny come lately that's like, oh, let me just jump into the pot business. No, I grew
you
up off
this.
In it.
This is your life.
I grew up with 100 bikes in my front yard. You know what I mean? So this isn't something that I just randomly was like, you know, maybe I should start a pot business.
Right.
I ran a moving company. There I went from homeless to the youngest owner of an international moving company. My number one client were veterans. I moved the base commander off Travis Air Force Base. You know, that's what I did. I got to know him intimately. I had one of the most intimate careers in the military you could have, because when the guy had to go or the mom had to go, I was there with the kids.
Right.
I was there with the family packing them up. And the most important thing to them, to that guy hopping on a plane, was that his family was taken care of, and I got to have a piece of that.
Wow, that's amazing.
I love that.
So look at this, gentlemen. I'm going to show you something.
Yes, please.
Showing us something.
He is pulling it out of his pocket, and we are getting...
He's giving us money.
No, I'm a civilian. I'm a civilian, but I was given that challenge coin.
Blue, what is that, please?
This is beautiful. Wow, it's called a challenge coin?
Yeah.
I've never even seen that.
What is a challenge coin?
That's a battalion coin for excellence in mule skinners, first calf. It was earned in battle.
Wow.
I was given it for excellence in business.
That's fantastic.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
This is a nice heavy piece. It's really beautiful.
You know, and that's something to think about and be said, you know, while we're honoring vets. Honoring, you know, gentlemen like this and the families of the vets, you know, who've gone through it and are going through it, and have people like yourself who are out there helping.
Our bylaws are written for vets and their families. Both of my grandpas served in the war, in World War II. One was a Marine, one was in the Army. One was a chef, one was a lineman who spoke Navajo because he set up the lines for the Code Talkers. Wow. So I come from a long line of military family. And the interesting thing is that nobody sees what happens to the families.
Right.
So as a nonprofit, I didn't want it to be, if there's a lady in our community whose husband served three tours, who needs a new roof, that we couldn't raise funds and help her too.
Wow.
Right.
She served as much as he did because she was there taking care of that family.
Yep.
They're battle buddies.
Right. Yeah. Well, guys, when we come back, more with Big Jake, we're going to do the high five.
Ooh,
you ready for that?
Yes.
Big Jake, you know what the high five is?
No, you're going to have to educate me, gentlemen.
We're gonna take you into
You will get educated.
Yes, man. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this break.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Take a hit, get lit, and sit back and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101. Mark and Craig.
Did he say Cannabis Turk?
I said Cannabis Talk 101.
He said Turkey 101. Yeah. November.
I know it's Thanksgiving's coming up, but I get it, Mark.
I do. Well, the biggest turkey of all sat right next to me and joined us. I am so glad you're here, Joe, just in time for my favorite part of the show, the Cannabis Talk 101 High Five with Big Jake.
Big Jake, it's a pleasure. I'm sorry I missed the first two segments with you, but the guy said you're great. And I hope that chair is okay, too, for you.
We're going to get me a chair made eventually, but this thing...
We're going to have to.
Big Jake, we need a better chair for this guy. This is no joke, right here.
You're Little Joe now.
Yeah, Big Jake makes me feel like, wow, Joe Grande, no. Big Jake's in the building.
Well, guys, we are all the way live in Long Beach on Pine and 5th Street, guys. Believe it or not, Harvest for Heroes shut down the whole entire block to block to block. For our veterans out here, shout out to our veterans, man, for cannabis and all the fantastic sponsors and people that are out here just sharing love.
It's great. Yes. What a great vibe it is out here. Unbelievable. I just got here and it's fantastic.
Yes, yes, yes.
So question number one, Jake of the High Five. How old were you the first time you smoked cannabis and where did you get it from?
First time I smoked cannabis, I was in the third grade and I smoked it with my dad and my uncle and my brother.
What was that, a ritual? Was it just something random? Third grade with dad and uncle?
Yeah, like, I mean, Pops is like, here we go, man. We're about to catch
it. How did that happen?
There was a football game on, and me and my brother were behind there catching exhale and watching the football game when we were supposed to be in bed. And so my dad snatched us up, brought us forward, and said, all right, you little fuckers, if you're going to smoke, you're going to smoke. Don't be stealing my weed. And from that point, my brother was the first one to smoke. He didn't get beat up, and so I'm like, okay, shit, I'm going to do it too then. And it was, from there, it was history.
And there it was. All right, question number two of the Cannabis Talk 101 High Five. What is your favorite way to use cannabis?
My favorite way is through my bong.
It's from the bong.
Hold on. No, it's not just a bong. I had a little conversation. So tell us a bit about the bong.
Well, it's a custom-made one from Blaze One, and it has an ice trap in the top, and then it has a nug jar off to the side, so I can put the weed in there and admire it while I'm smoking it. I filter it through the water, through the ice, and I get cool hits. And
like an ice cold hit.
Terpenes come through. I like a clean bong. I don't like dirty bongs. That's bad.
No, you know what? There's a big difference, by the way, Big Jake. There is a big difference between a clean and a dirty bong. Question number three of the High Five. Craziest place you've ever used or smoked cannabis? Craziest place you ever used or smoked cannabis?
At a truck stop in the bayou, and I was over by off in the cuts in Louisiana, and heard a gator wrestle in the woods, and I about shit myself, took off running.
Nothing better than that.
I'll tell you what, though, that's a first. I've never heard someone say they smoked next to a gator.
Yep, that's definitely a first.
Heard a lot of people almost shitting themselves, though.
Yeah.
I was on the run.
I could see that, man.
All right, question number four of the Cannabis Talk 101 High Five. What is your go-to munchies after you get high?
Pizza, probably.
Pizza.
There were some.
You look like a small pizza eater, too.
Yeah. That's what it is. No, NY pie. That's how you get it done.
A good NY pie. What kind of pizza? What do you get on top of it?
Extra garlic, ricotta, pepperoni, mushrooms, you know. The wife
making
gets it all
hungry,
done. All
the good making stuff. Me hungry. Question number five of the High Five with Big Jake. Out here in beautiful Long Beach, if you could smoke cannabis with anyone,
dead or alive,
who would it be and why?
Theodore Roosevelt.
Ooh, okay, why?
Because he's a badass, and he said...
Talking to the mic.
Because he's a badass. Everything that he was about was a badass, and he said, speak softly, carry a big stick. And I think he'd be someone fun to get high with and talk to.
I like that theory right there.
Yes, Mr. Sir. Roosevelt.
I mean, that's a good one, Jake.
So while we were on break, you were talking about another project, and you know, it slipped my memory. Did it slip yours, too?
He's looking at you like, what are you talking about?
We've
talked about several projects.
We talked about the bricks.
You wanted to bring it back up. We talked about the bricks, right? But you said you wanted to bring up another one right when we broke on the last break, and I walked to the back, and I...
Was it pet therapy?
Oh, the pet... Well, we covered pet therapy.
Okay.
Roscoe. We covered Roscoe.
Yeah, we talked
Shout
about
Shout out Roscoe. To Roscoe, man. That dog is beautiful. Joe's, you know, jumping in on it. He's like, what's going on?
Was that Roscoe O'Malley?
No.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Right.
I love being some Roscoe P. Coltrane. Just the good old boys. Never mean no harm.
So is there anything else that we forgot that you want to talk about?
You know, I think it really is just kind of understanding and finding those connections with these groups that are out here. It takes a village to get it done.
Sure.
Everything that I talk about that I say, hey, we've accomplished or we're accomplishing, there's thousands of people behind that moment that actually brought it to life. It wasn't because I was that cool or anything. It's because we were blessed to have the right people doing the right things. And I think if you're going to be out there and you're going to say you're about something, then you really need to be about it. We need to see where this stuff's going. There needs to be that understanding that something's actually being changed, not that it's nebulous and you don't know where the money went and you don't know who's getting it done.
Sure. You know, we say something around, like, within our inner circle, we talk about, you know, the fortunes and the follow-up, right? You know, don't forget who brought you to the dance. If you don't care, then you can't be a part of our team, right? And then once your mind expands from its original form, it will never come back. And so when you start to, you know, deal with those kind of, you know, languages within your inner circle, I think people understand that there's growth. There's opportunity, and you could find something special within that, you know, and it doesn't come from just one person. It takes a village, like you said. And so, you know, I love that you share that, because you can't ever forget your team. You know, when you forget your team is when you start to realize that you end up being alone again, you know, and we've all been alone at some point in our lives. And, you know, the feeling's just not quite the same.
Hey, you know, I often tell my team, if I'm the coolest person in the room, we got a problem.
Yeah. Well, Mark doesn't feel that way. Mark's
Mark actually claims it.
Like, I'm the coolest guy.
We all know who we are.
Yeah.
I tell you, give it to me. Thank you.
He takes it, he's like, yes, this is true. Yes, yes.
When I pulled up, he goes, Joe, thank you for coming here, because everybody now will finally stop asking me for pictures now that you're here.
Well, they can't get
what
through yet.
Thank
and
you
then
for
everything
blocking
broke.
People, Joe.
Yes. Well, we want to give a special thanks to Catalyst for helping propel this thing, man. Harvest for Heroes, Blacklist, Immersia. They've done a fantastic job, guys. I mean, this is something that, you know, you don't get to do all the time, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day in Long Beach, California.
I'm sitting here smoking joints, doing a show, educating people, having a good time. I mean, I hope this is a glimpse into the real future.
Well, this is a glimpse, too, on what other cities and people need to do to push more for the veterans out there, and this type of foundation that Long Beach is supporting is what's really key, because in my opinion, that's the biggest factor here, is doing things for these veterans, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
And MedVets, guys, tell me, last thing, I really, you know, if you had to look at what your mission really is, tell us what your mission is, Big Jake.
My mission is to use the tools that are in front of me, county by county, to help veterans help themselves, their communities, and their families, so that they can get themselves up straight, pointed the right direction, and plug them into the right people. The people that do those things, they specialize, I'm going to get to know them, and they're going to be a part of what we do. And so when that happens, rather than me being that, it's put them where they need to go. Place them where they need the help and get it done, because there's a lot more people needing help than help needing people.
I love that. Well said.
Very well said. Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this. If no one else loves you, we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.